Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rikari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. That's right. We're already talking about next year. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you. So visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
Guys, welcome into episode 14 of Coffee and Chill. I'm your host, Cameron No Sleeves Albert, joined by my co-host, as always, Kesso Paguni. And just like we've always done for the last 14 episodes, Kesso, tell me about your life. What's going on?
Hey, so actually, I go back to work tomorrow. I've been on Christmas break. I'm very lucky to work for a company where we get like the day before Christmas Eve off, and then we get like all the way up until like January 3rd off. So it's been
that's nice.
I'm just dreading going back to work. But New Year's Eve was fun. Went to a couple friends' house, you know, had some drinks. And then me and the wife just hung out around the house a lot. We got the new – have you played the new Mario Party game?
My wife just got it, actually. We played it a little bit on New Year's Eve, but okay. Yeah.
We've been playing that. We've been having fun.
Yeah, she loves Mario Party. Yeah. Actually, as we speak, she's upstairs playing with her mom right now, I think.
That's awesome.
I did the same thing. My buddy – dude – you're almost there as a newlywed. So my best friend came over last minute with his wife and two kids. And it's like, it's just so much work to hang out. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, oh my God. I love his kids. I love hanging out. But I was like, man, I just want to go to bed and sleep in. And, you know, there's a reason why me and Skyla have not had a kid yet. And it's, we're not ready. We'd like our ability to do whatever. Even Summer was just like, she's too young to be around people still. She's too excited, like won't chill out. Mm-hmm. And she's like a 60-pound moose now, so it's like, and that gets a little frustrating, but it was still good. It was good. New Year's is always a decent time.
Yeah, the thing with pets, the pets, like, you can just leave alone for a little bit.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
a baby, it's like 24/7, you have to be there, you know, like, you just have to. Yeah.
Exactly. You got to put them to bed, and like, it was like a whole thing. They slept over, made it easier. They just slept in our guest bedroom, so that was all right. But man, we had a big, big week in Ultimate Team. We've got Team of the Year.
Yeah.
So that's probably going to be the bulk of today's episode. So first, we have to pat ourselves on our back here. We were 6 out of 6 on the selections there. Last week, or I think it was last week, we did the predictions.
Yeah, we did the predictions last week. Yeah.
Yeah. I looked pretty good on Twitter. EA tweeted out my predictions, which were the exact same as yours. So it was nice. We got a little flex there. We got, we were bang on. So, let's talk about those 6 cards. First, you won't use Marchand, correct?
I won't, but I was really happy to see him because I wanted him to be a choice last year. I think he deserved it last year as well. So it's great for Boston fans. I know somebody that I talk to a lot in the community, Fred Scott, F. Scott, he's a big Boston guy. He made Marchand, right? And he's probably like one of 3 people to make him. Dude. So I was happy to see that.
It's so tough too, because like, I feel like every year, like the ratings don't get, because like the base ratings are done off of like whatever the rosters are, right? And like Marchand's speed is just so low in that roster that like, you just can't. I mean, you can use him. It's not like he's a bad card. He got 3 skating synergies, which was awesome. He almost got everything I wanted. I was like, I tweeted out right before when it got like leaked, which.
Okay, yeah.
All right, let's pause on that, dude. dude, the biggest event gets leaked, and not by a game changer. We had no idea who was going to win. By the site. 22
that happened
hours
last
early.
Year, right? Was it last year or the year before the site? It was like a day before the site had the same thing.
I believe so. I think so. But, it's just, like, every single release. And this one's the big one, because this one is, like, the most anticipated, probably, other than maybe team of the season, obviously.
I would say this one just because it's the first of the team of the year type ones, right? So, like, this is probably the biggest event of the year.
Not to mention, as the biggest player base by April, a lot of people have stopped, you know, except for the hardcores. Yeah. So, like, team of the season, while it's still, like, one of the biggest, obviously, there's a lot of people that have just moved on from Hutt. And it's just like, dude, it is so frustrating to see that they just can't seem to get any event correct when it comes to marketing. And I don't know who's in charge of it, but, man, something's got to be. I just don't know how you go to work. And it's like, you know what I mean? Like, at a certain point, man, I've worked for a company for 8 years, man. If I was in charge of marketing and social posts, it's like, and to be fair, guys, that's not Clappy's job, because I know that's the immediate response is like, Clappy's the community manager. That is not his job to do marketing on the EA Twitter account or anything like that, or the website. That's not him. So.
Something like that is just like a coding thing with like the time that the page is visible, I'm guessing.
Yeah, like I don't know, but it's like every event, because like Sony and Xbox, they've been leaking events early, because like if you go and buy the game, it was showing like events as like the hype to go and buy them is like on one of the things. And that was ruining like the 92-bit or the 16-bit one that was leaked early, as with the I don't think the under 22 one was, but the Hockey Roots one as well. And it's like that's on Xbox and Sony, not like reading the memo, but they're so big, it's like they're just not paying attention, I guess. But like that, the EA website one is just like, oh my,
yeah, because that's them. Like that can't happen.
It can't, man. It's wild, and it's what's. I wish it was a game changer, because then it's at least like that's your fault. Like, you know what I mean? You could be reprimanded. It's like, the company just did it.
Now, do you think that guy was reprimanded? Whoever did that?
Oh, dude. And like, it's, you know, like I said, it's not the biggest deal, but as someone who like does this for a living, like, I'm not really at liberty to, like, if a leak happens like that, it's like a bad look for me to like post about it, you know? Yeah.
So well, I don't think we're even allowed, like, right?
Cause usually, not to mention I wouldn't want to, because, like, you know, not everyone follows Twitter or is on the EA website or whatever, goes on Reddit. They won't know. But if I make a video or some, you know, we all make videos, it's like, you know, but nonetheless, so it gets leaked, which is just tough. I really hope that stuff stops, but I have no faith in that actually happening. But let's talk about the cards. How many have you made?
I've made three. I'm actually, same. I'm surprised. You made three as well.
I made three as well, yeah. Who'd you make?
So I guarantee we both have Rantanen, right?
No.
Oh, okay. So, okay.
All right. Good talk. All right, good start. Right.
So
good
start. I made Rantanen, Hedman, and then the last one I was tinkering on, Adam Fox.
Okay. So I made Fox, Hedman, and McDavid.
Okay.
Yeah. So I got bullied on Twitch to do McDavid. I honest to God, I've said this in my video and I'll say it here too. I really don't think it's worth it to do McDavid. But Twitch like bullied me. So for the content, I upgraded my 96 or my 94 McDavid to 96. And I did that route. I don't think the non X factor route is viable. It's 1.2 million right now in value, and no card is worth that. Even Lemieux and Gretzky, like, unless you're Hutt rich, which, you know, we both put tons of money into the game and you grind the market and whatever, but like, you know what I mean? Like for a lot of the majority of the people, they spend maybe $100 at most and they just grind the game. It's like, that's not worth it at all. 1.2 million. Because, like, the biggest question I got was, do I upgrade McDavid or make McDavid, or do I make Rantanen and Hedman? And it's like, easily make Rantanen and Hedman.
Yeah, like, and I'd also argue that, depending on the type of player you are, like, Rantanen might be better, too. That might be a bold take, but for the type of player you are, Rantanen could be a better card.
I think so, too. I think that division, this is very generalized, but I think division 3 and above, so 1, 2, and 3, are going to love Rantanen. I think that division 3 and below, I would go Fox over Rantanen. Just I mentioned this in the video. It's just, most of your goals come off the rush, Rantanen probably isn't the card for you, and it's such a heavy investment.
Yeah.
Because he is slow. Like, he's slow in comparison to, you know, some of the other left and away. Like, you've got a Duchesne, for example. Hedman, unbelievable. He feels like Adam Foote did at launch. Like,
yeah, he's really good. One thing I do want to try, though, I've only used like a couple of his abilities. So next time I play, I'm going to play with like everything activated. I want to see if some of the things actually matter. Because I think I was just using, he has shutdown as his zone ability.
Which is unfair, bro, because his reach is ridiculous. What were they thinking?
Yeah,
bro.
Like,
I love it, but it's just, poof.
There was one thing whenever we were talking about McDavid, I've been telling people this. I don't think it's worth making him just due to the fact that you can get like a 94 McDavid that is already nearly maxed out for like, oh, yeah. I don't know 100%. What the 94 McDavid's going for. Probably just a couple hundred K, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It won't be. Yeah. It's fractional compared to what. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
And I think that the only way that I could even argue it is if you already have the 94 and it's untradeable, then you're at a point where if you have the funds, make Hedman first. Hedman, in my opinion, is the only must-have. I think that if you can only make one, regardless of your situation, Hedman is the one that you need to make because he's already at 91 skating, and he will go up to about 94, 95, and his reach and size is something that cannot be improved upon. So you can't make Makar or someone else bigger or Gonchar bigger. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's it. It's, you know, finite. And that's where you see at the end of the game, you know, when you compare cards that are 99 across the board, which just happens with all cards in Hockey Ultimate Team, it's how it goes. The ones that are bigger are better. It's just they hold on to the puck better. They can shut down the blue line, especially on defense, because the bumps off the puck in the defensive zone, the reach that he has defending the blue line, it's ridiculous. And especially with shutdown, because it just makes it auto lock so well.
Yeah, barring like a random Zdeno Chara release, he's going to be the best defenseman for the rest of the year.
Exactly,
Yeah.
Like, I don't see, there's no other way that you're going to get someone like that. So Hedman's number one, absolutely. But then after that, if you have X-Factor McDavid and he's already 94, like if you have him at 90, it's still not worth it because you have to go and get the collectibles first. And that's going to take up so much of the collection you've got to then, and then you need to make the 85 collectibles on top of it. It's not worth it. But if you already have the 94, because let me tell you, man, so I messed around, and I know that we've been back and forth about X-Factors throughout the year. We've been trying different things. I'm someone who loads up the first line with my ability points. Like, I go heavy on the cards that have the most ice time. I just think that that's the most impactful. So I went 20 ability points on this thing. And Elite Edges is one of my favorite ones now. I like the Superstar ability because I don't like the amount of points it costs on the normal one. Because I'm just living with half spinning and cycling around the zone, holding down L2, basically. It's how I've been able to break my plateau and get into Division 1. And it's made me a lot better at this game. It's just something that makes it very easy. So, like, Zetterberg has that, and that's why another reason why I love Zetterberg. But so he's got Elite Edges, he's got Silver Wheels, he's got Silver Tape to Tape, and then his zone ability is Unstoppable Force.
I know,
which means,
right? Because that's his only weakness. His only weakness is his size, right? So they gave
and
him a gold 6'1", ability.
So it's
that,
not like he's tiny.
Yeah.
Now, here's the one thing I've noticed. This is going to sound ridiculous. He is almost too fast that if he gets bumped along the boards, I noticed in my first few games, he was just getting munched. Okay. With Unstoppable Force on. Like, if you're in a foot race and you're side by side and someone's bumping you, he wouldn't lose the puck. But if someone had like a couple steps or even one step and actually got a hit off, it wasn't like a bump. It was like dude was thrown into the boards. And I don't know. I have no reasoning because he's got 99 balance. The only thing I can think of is that he is the only one that can go that fast. Because when you get him going, dude, I've been on breakaways with him where I have to slow down.
Yeah.
Because I can't do the backhand forehand. I do it too fast. Like, he's going too fast.
So you have the Silver Wheels activated on him, too?
Yeah. Like, okay. it's bananas. Like, I'm going to take Tape to Tape off of him, which might sound like a hot take because that's, like, I think we talked about this the last couple episodes. Mm-hmm. I think that is one of the best ones because of the passing being so difficult this year. I've played 13 games, all Hut Champs. He has 14 goals.
Yeah.
And one assist. So, like, I'm not using. I look
you're
to get the puck to him, and then I'm not passing. I'm using.
I mean, there's
elite
no
edges.
Reason to pass the puck, you know. Whenever you
no.
have him, yeah,
exactly. So I hold L2 in the corner when I'm in the cycling zone with him. I fly down the boards with him, or I just hit him in the slot for one time or so. I'm probably taking Tape to Tape off him, but that's it. But yeah, he has been wild. Everything is advertised, but I agree with you. There's no need to get him. I would much rather have the problem with so. Remember last year, Makar, it was like the first year that smaller defensemen were actually viable because that Makar had like 95 body checking.
Was it 99 or 95?
He had high body checking the whole year because Team of the Year comes out early.
Yeah.
So he got a Team of the Year card and his body checking was high. I don't know if it was because of synergies or team-based synergies too. So there was a way to get his body checking very high and it was not low to begin with. And he was very good. He was able to bump guys off the puck because of that. And he's only 5'11". Fox right now, because his skating is good, you can get Spark, which is, I think, is the best synergy for defensemen because I think acceleration matters more than speed on defensemen. That gets up his body checking. And then he also has Booming Shot, which is now my favorite non-speed synergy. It is.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because somebody, whenever I was streaming and I got the Adam Fox, somebody said, hey, you should activate Spark and Booming Shot because his body checking goes up to,
goes up to like 95.
Yeah, 95. Yeah. So I did that. I don't really have an opinion on the Adam Fox yet because I have him on my third pair.
Okay. So you're not. I put him on my first line with Hedman because I think they mesh well. Like, so I have Weber as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't, like, I think that Hedman and Fox pair perfectly in the sense that Fox is very fast and obviously smaller. And Hedman's not slow, but sluggish in comparison and so much bigger. I don't know, because I get burned along the boards a lot, I do kind of give up that stuff. That's why I don't like having, like, Hamilton and him together or Weber and him together. Mm-hmm. But I haven't noticed him defensively, but that might be because I just, the second I'm on defending the rush, I immediately go to Hedman because it's just fun.
Like, yeah. I mean, defending the rush with Hedman, honestly, it's a good thing if you're not noticing him, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And he's very, very fast. Like, I notice he's very smooth skating, so I think that defensemen are very hard to come by. The one issue I have is that he right defense is tough to knock out Hamilton, Carlson, Jones because they're so big and they will get up into the mid-90s at some point in the year more than likely. Maybe not Jones, but I would be willing to bet that they'll find a way.
He'll have an MSP or something at some point,
at
right?
At some point. Something. Well, he already had one at the launch.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
I almost didn't consider
those ones, though, because they were like 86 overall MSPs, right? Yeah.
It was, but he'll get a charity card or something. But nonetheless, Hamilton, he is very good, and so is Carlson. I think that Carlson's really good as well. So he just has more competition. The left side is pretty barren. Like, it is... It is. There is not a lot.
Unless you did like the Gonchar and then you have Hedman now. Yeah. Like,
but Gonchar is so expensive that the amount of the player base that, and a lot of people chose Klefbom. So if you don't have any of those team builders and you don't have Hedman, like you're looking at like Bowen Byram, who's not bad. Mm-hmm. He's my third pairing left-handed fit. Or Morgan Riley, but even that is super expensive and you own them all. but like, you know, there's just not a lot. So I think the Hedman was just a slam dunk easy one. But Fox, It's interesting. I think that Rantanen's a top. I'm going to end up making one more. And it has to be the Rantanen. Part of me wants to. So here's my dilemma. And guys, you can let me know if you think I'm dumb or overthinking it. Because I know Rantanen is one of the best cards. But my right-handed winger, my right wingers, was a left-handed wingers, is 96 McDavid, 94 Duchesne, 93 Gretzky. So
well,
like
you need somebody on your fourth line, then there you go.
I could also go and get Vazzy, and we've been wondering about like is the height meta still the thing or is it goal post to post? I've run into this Vazzy a couple times, man, and it is goal post to post.
So this past week I've played with what was the Koskinen that came out? I bought him right. I played with him with every ability activated. I played with him without any abilities activated. I noticed dropped my toothpick that I was holding there. I noticed like no difference between 83 Markstrom and then 93 Koskinen. He's 6'7". He has high 90s in almost every single stat. Low aggression, plays the same as like the 83 Markstrom.
Did he let any goals that he shouldn't have?
Yes.
Oh.
And there were some weak ones, right? There was like some weird out of position goals whenever I had abilities activated. Whenever I turned them off, I felt he played a little bit better. And I don't know why, but it was just like weird animations. I don't know if it was due to the abilities that were activated. But gold post to post, like that's just the difference maker this year in goalie.
Price has not let in the amount of, like, again, his save percentage and goals against is roughly the same as what it always is. And guys, for anyone that trusts out goaltenders or you think that someone's better, like I said, play 50 games and they're going to be almost dead same throughout what your normal save percentage, because it's just totally based on your defense. But the amount, like I said, I've based my goaltenders, whether they're good or not, on the amount of times that they make saves that where I my heart, like my head drops, where I'm like, ugh, like I gave up a 2-1, you know what I mean? And he makes saves where I'm like, wow, okay, that, and it just, he continues to do it. Like, I don't, the part of me doesn't want to get Vazzy because I love Carey Price card so much, but like never having to worry about a goaltender the rest of the game, essentially. Goal post to post is the meta. It clearly is this year. And part of me also thinks that his all of these cards. So let's talk about this. We haven't talked about this. The cost right now to make them from scratch is about with what the cost is to get all the 84s or 85s and all that stuff is about 550,000 coins, which is solid in my opinion. Outside of McDavid,
it's actually pretty cheap, right?
It's not bad. Like that's cheaper than what it was with the gold collectible system last year. Mm-hmm. So that's not terrible. The thing you guys have to remember though is I've said this on my videos and whatnot is if you do not get them or make them in this week, you will not get them because they will almost all be over a million. Like, do you agree? Other than Marchand.
Yeah, because a lot of besides Marchand, right? Yeah. But
like,
a lot of people
going to go up.
Yeah, a lot of people came into the chat. They're like, you know, I pulled this. Should I sell them? I'm like, hold on to them for as long as you can. Like, if you have patience, wait a month, you know, because they're only going to keep going up.
That Hedman, the second he's out of packs, like, whatever the next event is, the thing about Hedman is they're going to come out with like a 93 or 94, let's say. And it won't matter because he's 6'6 with two to each of the synergies. He's got 91, 92 skating or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you can't make 90, you can't make 6'6". Like, that's the problem. No matter what the defenseman comes out is, he won't be, you know, he won't be 6'5 or anything like that. So that's what you got to remember. And same thing with that McDavid. Like, dude, that McDavid, you got him tradable? That's like 2 milli.
Yeah, yeah. I saw somebody bought one for like a million the other day. And I'm thinking, like, oh, right? Like, how could you sell it right now for that much? And then
I don't know why, why you even sell them.
Yeah, yeah. What are you getting for that right now? Because you can't really, you have the McDavid, right? You're selling him. There's no other better card that you can buy right now. So there's no point in even selling him.
I have to also say, guys, there is no point in buying them tradable. Other than maybe Vazzy.
Buying them I would say buying them tradable right now and flipping them in a month.
If you were going to flip them. Yes. But if you are trying to acquire them to use, you will never get rid of these guys, any of them.
Yeah.
Like, you just won't. I mean, there could be an argument for Fox, but that would be so late in the year that, like, it really won't matter. Because, again, when everything gets up to 99, everything's the same. The guys that are bigger are going to be better. So, like, that's just how it works. But...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I don't think if you're gonna make them, just make them untradeable. Yeah, like, so I've got so Fox, McDavid, I want to make Rantanen. You know what's funny? So EA Hawk, the content developer, came into my chat and he was like, peep his stats when he gets up a little bit higher, like 95, 96, you can use him at center. So he has Thief and something else. I think Fly the Zone does faceoffs.
Okay.
And he actually gets up to like 74 faceoff. So if he gets up like another 5 or whatever, like, I might just put him at center. At 6'4", like...
You're Mr., you know, face-off ratings don't matter, right? I always disagree a little bit, but I will say, even if you have him on, like, your second or third line center, just don't put him out there for face-offs, right? Like, just switch to that line mid-play. Like, you don't really even have to use him for face-offs. And no, he has that big body to have in the middle.
I just think that he's so much better on the... I don't like slower guy. Like, I like the 99 speed.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense because, like, I think about it whenever I'm on the breakout, right? Like, whenever I pass to my center, like, he's just the distributor. Like, you know,
that's
no pun intended.
Point guard. Like, he just sets it up. Like,
he sets it up. The wingers always have the speed, especially depending on, like, the settings you're using. But the wingers usually have the speed. Way more important to have the speed on the wing, size at center. So you might be onto something with that, but it could be worthwhile using.
Let's talk about, so World Juniors, we should mention that. I get a lot of questions about that, about, the World Junior card. So obviously, unfortunately, the World Junior event was canceled. That was just a whole mess in general. But, in terms of like how it's going to impact Hutt, if you have a World Junior card, don't sell it. Because
That'd be a terrible choice.
EA Hawk came into, well, he's my channel, a bunch of people's channels, and basically said, don't worry, we're doing something. So you have to remember that first, we wouldn't even have any resolution to this until the 7th or 8th. I think that's when the actual finals were going to be. So anyone complaining about not having it, you know, upgrades now, it's like we wouldn't have had them anyways until the finals.
Mm-hmm.
But this week, we are going to get some info as to what happens. I have no idea what it's going to be. Part of me thinks that they all just get upgraded by +2. I mean, I would be stunned if they're all like, hey, everything gets +5. EA's never generous, so I don't know. Like, I'm not sure, but hopefully they do something creative. I don't know, but they simmed it before, like, the event started, and maybe they used that, but that's all just speculation. I, like, I think that if you have them, a lot of people, I've been telling them, just save them, because you're not, they're going to do something, and even no matter what they do, you'll get more value then than what you're getting right now.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you might as well wait.
I would not invest, I'll tell you that. Like, I wouldn't invest and buy more now. I would just hold on to the ones you have. Or if you have the packs that you haven't opened, same situation. Something they'll figure out, and if it's certain countries get boosts like they were originally going to happen, same situation. If you have your packs, don't open them until that's happened, and then you can hopefully choose the one that goes up.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make sure that we get that in here. Let's talk about, like, events going forward and how you're going to essentially attack them, I guess. After team of the year, like, what, as your team is right now, in the next event, like, do you have cards that are replaceable?
I do right now. Like, I have, like, an 85 overall X-Factor O'Reilly on my fourth line that I'm just, like, I don't really use my fourth line that much. So I think right now how I'm focusing is that I'm locking in those, like, pieces that are going to be on the team for the rest of the year, right? Mm-hmm. So I have, like, Ovechkin X-Factor. I have, like, the Rantanen team of the year. You have the Hedman, the Fox and stuff, right? So it's, like, getting those pieces that you don't have to, like, spend any more coins on. So right
that's
now,
also
like,
so nice, by the way.
Like, oh,
the,
like, just not having
the one
to worry
thing
about
McDavid,
right?
Yeah. Getting McDavid is like, I don't have to do the tier jumps. Like,
yeah,
after doing it all year round for the X factors, it's like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
Sorry, but carry on.
Oh, no, it's all good. So I think right now it's like downgrading X factors that I don't think are going to be on my team for the rest of the year, or just not upgrading them further.
Who are you looking to get rid of? Like, are you moving on from certain?
I moved on from John Carlson. And he was one. Yeah, you did. You did the same thing, right? So I think I had him up to like maybe an 88. I forget
exact
what
same.
Is.
Exactly.
Okay, and I downgraded him, like to an 85. I might downgrade him further.
I don't think he's bad. Like,
no, he's a great player, but it's like
it was so, literally just Fox.
So it's like Adam Fox is on my team and Shea Weber, right?
That's
and then
the
I also
situation.
Have I have tradable Brandon Carlo, that I bought for like 200K. So my thinking is that, like, to even get John Carlson up to, like, a 93, like, let's say he gets, like, a 93 overall in, like, a couple months, that's going to be, like, 200 or 300K more in collectibles, right, that I can't use to upgrade Ovechkin, that I couldn't use to upgrade other players, and I already have the Carlo that's pretty much as good or better than the Carlson will be at 93. And then I also think by that time, there's going to be other 93 overall defensemen that are probably cheaper than what it's going to cost Carlson to upgrade. The other one I was thinking about getting rid of was my third line center, Crosby. He's a 91 now. I love Crosby. I'm you know, Pittsburgh till I die, right? But he's small, and I'm very disappointed.
It's funny, you and everyone else were saying that he was so good at the beginning. That's interesting.
He was. He really was. It's just size matters a lot more now that the speed's caught up. You know, I bought him for like 600 or 800K like 2 months ago. I went to the auction house.
I sold
before.
Mine for like 550.
I went to the auction house. I looked. He's going for like 170. So I'm just taking that.
So that's something to remember next year, guys.
Yeah, I'm just taking that massive hit on that. Yeah, so I think now that the team of the year's done, right, I'm going to take my time. Like, my team's good. Unless there's like some crazy end game guaranteed card, right, I'm probably just going to keep upgrading like 3 to 4 X factors. And then just like stockpiling coins and players, right? There's no need, I think, right now to go after the next best thing, like in the next event. I think right now is a good time to save up for team of the season. Are you in the same boat with that?
Do you think if they go back to the under 22 style, which again, it is the best event style that we've had.
Mm-hmm.
But we spoke about our problems with it. Do you think that if they go back to that again, just it would take a miracle for them? Because they've done a really good job balancing master players. Yeah. There has been very few events where it's like, that's the one you need, as opposed to like three multiple options. If they go back to that style, which I don't see why they wouldn't go back to it, are you just going to avoid probably?
Yeah, I think we're going to avoid.
Are you still in the same mindset that, like, Team of the Year and X-Factors are the cards that you want on your team?
I am of the mindset there's a few X-Factors I want on my team. You know, Ovechkin being one of them. Draisaitl is one that I have up to 93 that I'm, like, teetering on.
I'm the opposite.
You are the opposite, right? But I also am under the expectation that Ovechkin's going to have Team of the Season.
Yeah.
Right? He has to. Barring an injury, right, he has to. He'll also be
team
like
team of the season. Guys, is the same thing as team of the year. For anyone who doesn't know, the same thing as team of the year happens at the near the end of the regular season of the real NHL, and it rewards the people that happen this season, not the calendar year. So for anyone that doesn't know,
yeah,
he will for sure get one. Yeah,
and I think Draisaitl will, right? Because McDavid had team of the year. Draisaitl's up there in points. Is he number one in points?
Ovechkin was.
Ovechkin was. Wow. Okay. Yeah. All right. So both of those guys, right? Center and left wing. And then I also think you and I did a lot of the team builder cards, right?
I can't wait to see what those 98s look like.
I have to see what the 98s are. I can't make any decisions because I don't know how good the 98s will be.
I don't think they give us a defenseman that's over 6'2".
Could you imagine if we got, like, who's the smallest defenseman you could think of?
These guys, like, Torrey Krug?
Torrey Krug, 98 team builder. I think I'm selling my PlayStation.
Yeah, like, it's funny because for anyone that doesn't know, that the old, and I know we post this on Reddit, so you guys know who Shadow is, or Nicholas. He was the content developer for the last few years, and he moved into a different role, which I think is great, a very good role. But the new guys that they hired, you've seen him around the community. I know him as Brandon and Will, or EA Hawk on Twitch, and they were like avid hut gamers. They understand. They used to grind the game, whereas Nicholas didn't really do that. So like everyone remembers the Zdeno Chara. That was him thinking, like, that's a great master set selection. When in hindsight, that is, it's just absolutely mind-numbing to the meta in the game.
Yeah.
These guys understand the meta and what people are looking for. So if you look at the master items in the cards, like, even the Winter Classic cards were almost dead even. Like, it's very hard to find a card where it's like, that's the one you need to get. So the team builders, I would be stunned if it's, like, because... Right, like even Weber has like 90 speed, right?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, like I think maybe like 91 with like a synergy.
Like, I mean, maybe if it's like 93 and no speed synergy and he's like 6'4".
Yeah.
That could be a situation.
I mean, here's the thing. These are like the rarest cards in the game, right? Or some of them.
It is hard to get them, man.
It's really hard to get them. And then like the 98s.
Three of them.
I have four of them.
Oh, who's the fourth?
I have Zetterberg, Gabrick,
Gonchar. Oh, I convinced you to get Zetterberg.
And he's been my favorite card.
Yes, I was right. Yeah, yes, dude, yeah. There's something about him, man.
So I can get two of the 98s, Zetterberg cards. Right? Like, I can get two of the 98s, I believe. Yep. So
I might have to do one more because of that, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just hoping it's not, like, just super small players, right?
I don't think they will. I think they understand. I think, yeah. Like, even Zetterberg is 6'.
Yeah, and like, he's just so good. And last year you had... even at the worst, right? You had Taves, who was like the best center
in the
game.
Ginla, those were both good, though.
Like, but you had that Phil Housley. That was such a strange choice.
Oh, that was so bad.
Yeah, like if it's Phil Housley again this year, no way.
No, I don't think.
I would just keep the Weber and Gonchar or something if it's like Phil Housley.
Yeah, exactly. I hope that they make it where, so they almost had it right. Every event we've gotten like a little bit better. So this last event for Hockey Roots, I want to call it Hut Roots. Like, every time I record a video, I say Hut Roots. Yeah. Where they made it where you could pull a completely different 93 card.
Mm-hmm. You liked that, didn't you?
I like it more than what it was.
Yeah.
Like, just let it be the 92. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know. I
don't like the fact that there's two different ones. I don't know. Maybe
I don't mind that the tradable one that you can only pull in packs is different. I really don't mind that at all.
I just think it cheapens the 92, so it's like even more than like the thought of like it not upgrading. I think they just need to upgrade. Like, they just work like X factors. Like, I don't know why they
and
can't
like and like the
that.
Next like inform or whatever.
Yeah,
that would
goes
get
up.
Them above.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could do that, right? I mean, then you would have multiple versions of, like, players that have an X-Factor card, right? Because that would just be another X-Factor.
Mm-hmm. I guess that might cheapen it, yeah.
Yeah, it might. I think they've... So this year's been so strange, right, with the introduction of X-Factors. And I think they've learned some things, and I think next year will be better. Just because it changed just how the marketplace and everything works in Ultimate Team. So, like you said, there's been improvements every single event. It's also like a learning year, you know?
That's true. No, you're
you
not
look very
there.
Comfortable right now, by the way.
Oh, you're dude, like, I'm in my full, like, dude, this is my horrible streamer stance, bro.
Yeah.
This is why I need to go to a chiropractor.
Your back is going to be hurting in, like, 20 minutes.
It's not good, yeah. This is how I stream every day. For anyone that's wondering, listening to the podcast, we're also recording some video on my YouTube channel. So if you want to watch some video, last week we had a visitor from Euros. We had Bella, right? The puppy.
Yeah. Listen, can I talk about her for a second?
Oh my gosh.
So we had to find a new permanent home for her. We were giving her to my brother-in-law.
Yeah. Explain it to me. Someone in my chat came in and mentioned, and I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Anyways, so he's 22. Right. My brother-in-law. And like a week before Christmas, we showed him a picture of this dog. We're like, hey, if it's still available, do you want this dog? And he's like, yeah. He's like, all I ever wanted was a dog, right? He lives with his aunt. And she's like, okay, you can get a dog. And we're like, okay, we'll surprise him with it. We said the dog was already like sold. We give him the dog. It lasts for a day. And he really liked the dog, but he's like too much responsibility. So then we had Bella for another week. And my coworker had expressed interest in Bella, and we took Bella over. They have another dog as well. They have an English bulldog. And the two just immediately got along like they were playing together. So Bella has a new permanent home, and my wife was crying on the way home. I felt so bad because she felt like it was like our dog. Like, oh man, Bella was adorable. You saw her last week.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
You know, so, I really missed the dog.
How come just the actual responsibility? The one night where you had to hang out with her by yourself?
Oh, not at all. No, the whole reason is because of Henry, the pig.
Yeah, he just wasn't vibing, huh?
It's not that. So we did a lot of reading, and like we're in like these random pig groups on Facebook and like stuff, and we know people. And for a long time...
What do those look like, bro?
The weirdest people. Pig families or whatever? Like the weirdest people. I hate
to
be a part of it.
Did you see the video I tweeted out, by the way?
Yes. Why was up with those people?
Dude, my buddy. So anyone, again, who doesn't follow me on Twitter, you got to go watch this video.
Yeah.
My buddy goes, I bet I can make you laugh one video. I was like, no shot. I bet I'll stone cold this. No problem. He sends me, he shows me a video of a hog calling contest. And this is literally at a state fair. People that go up and like competitively call pigs. And it is exactly how it sounds. And bro,
no, it's not exactly how it sounds. It's even crazier than it sounds.
I thought it was. I thought they were joking, and they were taking it so seriously, which made it even funnier. Like,
I love the interview. This guy's being interviewed, and they're like, "Hey, you're a bit of a noob on this tournament circuit or something." He's like, "Yeah, but you know, I've been working on a farm my whole life and stuff." Like, there's like this meta in pig calling culture, you know. Like, there's like a young Gren or Regs of like the pig callers, you know.
Dude, the noises they made. Oh, it's just something, guys. You gotta go see it, man.
Please,
anyways,
pause this. Go to Sleeves' Twitter and look at this.
You gotta go down. It's on New Year's Eve. Go take a look at hog calling contest.
No, we had to get rid of her because of Henry. Pigs are naturally prey. Dogs are natural predators, evolving
from
wolves.
That's true. I guess
at any day, if like it could be 5 years from now, it could be a year from now, it could be just like a random time. If they're both going for like the same food or something, like the dog can snap and just like kill the pig.
I feel you.
Yeah, so had to do it. It was a tough decision. Yeah.
It's unfortunate all the way around, but I'm glad that you got a couple, you know, like a week, you know. Like
2 weeks, yeah. Yeah, it was fun. It was a blast.
All right, so let's answer some questions. We got a bunch. Well, you do the Reddit ones. Guys, if you're listening to this now on the podcast or watching it on my YouTube channel, we usually post it. We post a Reddit thread every week. Thank you guys for allowing us to post it, by the way. And then you guys just ask your questions, and we go through and we try to answer them as best we can. I'll also do some of the YouTube comments as well. So read up do the Reddit comments.
So Tal Boot asks, gameplay aside, does EA request game changer feedback on the UI and auction house? There are several bugs and creative design choices that bog the game down. People get confused, and we see the same questions get asked over and over here on Reddit. This is an area where Hutt needs a lot of love, but people don't talk about it. Do game changers need to be content creators? Obviously, feedback on UI isn't suited for a broad YouTube/Twitch audience, so I can see where there could be a gap. This probably doesn't make EA's top priority list, given the litany of other complaints and problems. I added the "and problems" to the end of that question. So I will answer Tao. So do game changers need to be content creators? No, I actually started in the game changer program before I was a content creator.
There's a
lot of them in there. You don't see them just because they aren't content creators, right? I don't know how much of this I can answer. Worst case, I get kicked out of the program, but I don't think I would.
Sorry.
So a lot of it, whenever we get the game early, Hutt's not even really working, right? Like, there's like a lot of assets that like aren't even fully loaded into the game. The screens don't work, et cetera, right? Like,
this, like before you even further, it's like, this is like why everyone talks about how Diamond Dynasty is so much better than Hockey Ultimate Team, because they designed Diamond Dynasty and then the rest of the game operates around it. Whereas NHL, it's World of Chell and Versus, and then HUD is it's the layer on top. So that's why we always, it's usually World of Chell that we start with.
Well, yeah, because like the build we got this past year, it was like 4 or 5 months before the game came out. Like almost
it was
everything.
Early, yeah.
It was
this,
very
and again,
early.
COVID impacted this because we could usually what happens is we get a Vancouver trip and they take out a couple of people and we literally I've done it once. You sit in a room for like 4 days and you're legit just playing the game, which is very helpful to actually, because like you're just playing the game. The amount of stuff that you find in there is a lot, but
that sounds like I hope I can do that at some point.
I don't know if it'll ever come back again, to be honest.
I agree.
Yeah, so they give us a build, and it was earlier this year.
Yeah, and that's like HUD was like the one thing that just wasn't in there, like accessible, right? Like we can do mostly everything else. HUD wasn't in there, but for the rest of that sleeves, I don't know if there's anything you want to touch on. I don't know what I can say and can't say, you know.
I mean, I think that the UI, while I think it's very, I think it's personally important. I think that there's way bigger issues in Hockey Ultimate Team than that. Like, I would keep the auction house and the menus and all that the exact same if I got a BR mode or I got, like, ranked seasons or I got events or something like MLB, like, more modes and stuff to do in HUD. Because that's what eventually will happen, guys, is, like, to implement something brand new, it takes up significant developer resources. So you have to think, okay, if we put this in, we're not getting anything else new. Would you rather have a UI for HUD being different and no... If you guys think about it, if you log into NHL 19... 19 was 19 the year of Rivals? I think 19 was the year Rivals got added in. Sorry. If you log into NHL 20, it looks the exact... Like, not the look. The look looks a little bit different. Mm-hmm. The modes and stuff to do is exactly the same. Yeah. So, like, that can't happen this year, right? So I will take... additional ways to play the game week over the UI. While I think it is important, it is something that's been brought up as a game changer thing. It just is down the list. Like, I can tell you, even as someone who plays this game and selfishly wants the game to do better, the game does better. My numbers go better. Like that's why when someone's like, dude, you don't really care about the game. It's like, I do, but I can tell you that, yeah, it's down the list for sure.
Hey, listen, if BR mode was added, they could make like a Linux-based UI where I have to type in and code, like just if they added that, you know.
Yep.
Metro, hi Metro. Happy New Year's, dudes. What was your favorite TV show or movie from 2021? You have one.
Do you want to say one that you watched in 2021 or one that came out in 2021?
I'm gonna say something that came out in 2021.
Okay, I think Big Sky came out in 2021, and I love that shit. It's on Disney. It's a drama. It's about this town in Montana, and it's basically these two detectives, private investigators, and just a bunch of stuff. There's very dark and it's very crazy. It's like wild. I liked it. It's called Big Sky. I think
it came out on Disney Plus.
Yeah, it's on Disney Plus. That's
surprising. They have like a good besides like a Marvel show.
They have Stars, which I think that's what it's a part of. But yeah, that was like the one show that like I really liked.
Okay.
What about you?
My favorite show, I would probably say, like, I hate saying like the Marvel shows because that's like every show ever. Like, I really liked Loki this year. I liked the new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, if that counts. And then movies, I loved Dune. I don't know if you went to see Dune. That was pretty awesome. Guy. Okay, I'm a big movie guy. Like, I'm like a, you know, side film buff that sees a lot.
Yeah, I'm all about TV shows. I probably watched like over 75 series in like their entirety.
Dude, like, we're in that like golden age of like it's just too much to watch.
Yeah, exactly. And like I can't remember half of them.
Yeah, because it's like every single week there's like a new show to binge. Yeah.
Yeah.
Metro had some other questions. What are some trade-in sets you hope EA adds later? One, I want to see a trade-in set where you can exchange power-up icons for power-up collectibles. I originally liked the 8+, 80+ for a guaranteed 82+. I've had some luck on it, but now that team's better, it seems like kind of a waste now. I would like to see like trading in X-Factors for power-up collectibles. Like I have these X-Factors that I'm never going to use. that I would, I don't know if it, if they would give me like 5 power-up collectibles for them or something. I don't know what the value would be, like the one-to-one.
So like that's like one of the biggest like requests, I think, is we need more stuff. I think having more ways to get power-up collectibles, so like right now it's like 80 and above, 18 of them.
Mm-hmm. I see that like as a big cost sometimes. Maybe it's not.
Sometimes it depends if there's an event there. Like right now, it's going to cost you 25,000 coins per collectible.
Yeah.
Like to make one. Whereas normally it's usually about like 18,000. Like mm-hmm. you can get them for about 1,000. That being said, I don't know why there isn't like an 83 or 84 to reduce cost, because they already have that in the game and they have a set determined value. So why not just have that as well? Part of me, so like again, I've been in the Genshin program long enough now where every time there's a suggestion, I like immediately start thinking about why it can't happen.
I always do the same thing now.
So, and again, yeah, you've been now in it for 2 years or two full games now, so like you start to see like the other side that you guys, you know, the listeners probably would, they don't get to see it. So the one thing that I would counteract that with is if you made the amount of X factors that are made every month now with the seasonal as well as the guaranteed roll one and then just rolls in general, the scary part is that like you could how many power collectibles you get, you trade in one X factor. Let me ask you that. It could be a Joe Pavelski.
So my question for you then, I'm answering with a question, 20 gold players for an X factor once a month?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say three.
Three wouldn't be awful because that's like one tier.
That's like 75k in value, right?
Yeah, like it's not bad. The one thing is that, bro, like if they ever do that, though, there's X factors going for like 20,000 coins right now. Like Gensel and Pavelski.
Make a good bet, you know? Somebody cashes in on it. I don't know.
Maybe. If it was like three, for some reason I was thinking it was going to be like 5 and above. Like maybe three isn't too bad because that'd be like one tier. Part of me thinks that people have been playing since launch of the game. They've acquired the ones they want. It's like McKinnon, McDavid, Matthews, and those. And they're just kind of weeding out, you know, the other ones that, like, might jack everyone's overalls up a little too high that have been playing the game for a long time.
Yeah.
But they need to do something. They do need to do other ways to get collectibles. Because if you don't play HUT champs, you're at a very big disadvantage.
Yeah, I know, because you get this, at least like 5 if you go.
You get
like,
5 or
like
11 10. Wins, maybe that's me like with an ego being like that's easy to do. It's not.
I think that's like the average. That's a 50-50, I think.
If you're listening to this podcast, you probably play the game a lot, so that I would bet that our audience, a lot of us, could get there.
Mm-hmm.
But like if you don't, you're at a significant disadvantage because there's no other way to get them. So I think there should be something that they need to. The lazy lack of innovation with the icons this year was kind of lame.
And I've been big on current players.
Yeah, like I was big on lessening their value because I remember I've told this story before, but I have a screenshot from NHL 19 or 20, sorry. And it was like the game came out in September and it was like October 30th. It was right before Halloween and I had a full icon team.
Mm-hmm.
Not one player in the current NHL. And I was like, this is not cool, like not good.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's an overcorrection. I did make like an old sound, but like I am kind of glad. I've said it a few times on this podcast. I am glad
it's
that
refreshing
there's not
in that sense. But when you pull them, it's like same thing as X Factors. Like, dude, like they're just going for 20k.
I pulled my first icon. I pulled my first icon of the year. I was like really excited, and it was like Rod Brind'Amour, I think.
I got Ray Bourque.
See, that one's, like, slightly better. Remember whenever we thought him and Dennis Potvin were, like, the meta and we tried him out?
Yeah, we thought that, with Big Tipper and, like, the whole...
Seeing Eye and Heatseeker on those guys. We're like, let's try them out.
Yeah. We were thinking way too much on that.
Too bad it's documented,
I want to see them be a usable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very difficult because, like, you can't make them... It's because the speed goes up. I think their speed should go up by 1. Like...
Lemieux and Gretzky would be like 99 speed, right? Like if that was the case.
Those should be. There's like 6 on each console.
Opinion that like there should only be a couple cards, regardless of them being 99, that have like 99 speed. Because like thinking about it, like realistically, like Gretzky wasn't like 99 speed, you know. No. Like, but you'd have to do the 125, you know.
Speed is just the most important, though.
It is. Like, speed and size. Right? Yeah.
It sucks because like in MLB, like you could have a guy that had max 125 power. And as you go up, because when you get into higher divisions, the difficulty changes. And if their contact's really low and the contact is like the bubble that you can actually get the bat on the ball, like if they have massive contact but really low or massive power, really low contact, it's like he's not a good hitter.
Yeah.
Whereas like in NHL, it's like speed is it? Like,
yeah.
If they don't have good speed, useless.
Gretzky, 125 you know? Passing. Can you ever intercept the pass? Like what would that play like?
I would love it if you got if tape to tape, this is zone ability. They never the passing was like it was in prior the last decade.
Yeah. Like,
that would be nuts.
It would have to be. It would have to cost more. Like hypothetically, if there was like that 125 like point cap or whatever, mm-hmm. Gretzky would have it. I would assume. I would just assume that the pass can never be intercepted, right? Would people complain?
Well, you can intercept it, but like,
could
it
you
would track? You would not have to lead it. It'd be like what you used to do, where you just curl in the neutral zone and you could fire behind the back pass.
Yeah.
Whereas now it goes out of the zone. Like, how many times have you tried to go back to the point on the back end? And it just. In all the last 10 years, we didn't realize that the passing was automatic and it did a lot of the work for us. And I think that'd be cool if, like, I want attributes to mean more, I think, in NHL.
I really do, too. I really do, because we're getting to this point now, like, I had this, like, note written down, like, end game, like, kind of now, where it's, like, the players don't really play that differently, right? Like, the only thing that matters is the size now. And
this is
speed's
it. It's
still a little bit, but we're in the end game now. Like Doctor Strange says in Infinity War, we're in the end game now. So
that's it. That's it. Yeah, it. Like, a lot of people, like, don't, like, they'll ask me, like, do I like this card? And I'm like, do they feel exactly like everyone else on my team? Because everyone is 95 skating now.
Yeah, right? Like, do you like this card? Like, the only difference between this card and the other card that you're talking about is might be, like, one attribute point.
Or the art. Like, that's it. Like, it's just, like, card art. Like, that's
they
it.
They did a good job on the Team of the Year card art.
I thought it looked really nice.
I think was it last year? I think that might have been the nicest one.
That was nice. Yeah, the black with the... Yeah, I liked that a lot. Dude, the first year when they went to this method, it was, like, just the headshots.
I forget.
God, I hate the headshots, man.
Was that,
man.
Like, the blue one?
It was like tealish, and it was like there was a vote and nominees, and there was nominee cards. That was scary. You had to have the nominee card.
Yeah, I remember that now. I think that was the first year I really, really played Hutt and not just, like, dabbled.
Yeah, that would have been the first year of GWC being Hutt.
Yeah.
Which is coming up soon. I'm excited to talk about GWC on this.
I can't wait. Once GWC
becomes a thing, it's going to be, like, cards that, like, you'll see on GWC teams, stuff like that. I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we got off on a tangent on that question. I don't
That's right. We don't have to go through them all. We'll try, but we'll keep it at an hour. We got another 10 minutes.
Yeah. Maze has a couple questions. Maze, you asked the New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. I think we answered that earlier. What was on the menu? We didn't do anything special for, like, a meal for New Year's Day.
I fajitas.
Oh, that sounds good. If it was homemade?
Yeah, yeah.
They were good?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good.
Dude, Summer got a whole-ass chicken breast, though.
That's good.
I had to go in and get it. Like, my wife and my best friend's wife, they were cooking, and I just had my eye on the corner, and it was on the island, and I saw her, and she jumped up, got it, and I had to go in, and she had this whole, like, thing the size of half my forearm, and I had to get this thing out of her, and I was like, no! Anyways.
So May's fighting. It may frowned upon in comp game / higher division, but something needs to change. And that thing is dodging. In my opinion, you shouldn't be able to hold dodge the entire fight to make a tie. Like, if I want to see a turtle, I'll see McCarty against Claude Lemieux in 97. So what are your guys' opinion on fighting, and do you see anything that can be improved upon or any changes that you guys would like to see? My personal opinion, Maze, you're one of my favorite people. You and I have varying opinions on the game. I don't care one bit about the fighting. I don't even know how to fight in the game.
I haven't fought in a game in I don't know how long. And it's funny because when I used to play my buddies, like when you used to couch co-op, you knew how to fight in that game. Yeah. Like, and I don't know. I don't even know the last time I had more than like one fight in a season. Only because they hit it. Like, so I matched up against some Division 8-7 guy.
Yeah, you matched up against Maze. I'm just kidding.
That's it. I matched up against it. Because of the advantage you get, like, that's a significant advantage if you win.
Division 1.
It actually is like full energy.
I'm surprised people haven't, like, tried to, like, master how to initiate the fights and, like, have it where it
Junior
happens.
Junior Pens, I feel like, would be all over that.
Oh, God, we have to delete this part. Do you remember the fighting glitch? It was, like, an old-gen game where if you held in, like, R2, you can just keep, like, uppercutting people. Like, it was, like, the craziest, like, fastest punches. It was, like, a glitch in the game.
I don't remember that. Okay. That sounds like something from Operation Sports.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? So if I remember correctly, you got this question on the NHL 22 wishlist series you did before 22 came out, so that must have been you, Sleeves. And it was something like this. How would you feel on a set limit to get a certain rank in rivals and squad battles so it isn't top X percent? Instead, yep. For ultimate, let's say you need 25,000 points, so we don't need to worry about getting knocked down the last hour. And in squad battles, maybe 20K for Elite 3, 45K for Elite 1, while top 100 stays the same way. Things need to change in the game. I'm at this like stale point where I don't even know what to do in the game, and I'm like trying to think of a series like you are, Sleeves, with the Hot Wheels, where it's like you kind of have to use your imagination like SpongeBob SquarePants, like that one episode, and make the fun yourself. That needs to happen, Maze.
I said that, I agree, and I said multiple people have said it in the Game Changer chat, the Rivals is a mess that needs a leaderboard, first of all. That's, we've said that until we're blue in the face. But yeah, I don't think something needs to change in the sense of how rewards are done, especially in Division 1, because you have people that just go and fall to Division 3 because the rewards are kind of negligible. And in Division 1, guys, you get the people that, you know, they maybe decided to take a year off school, or maybe, you know, they're in between jobs. And like, I play this game for a living and I can barely get into Ultimate. So like, it is very difficult, and it should be, but I think that if you have 50 games, my idea was like, Hut Champs game should not count towards Rivals, two different things. Mm-hmm. I think that Rivals is its own thing, and I think that you should get guaranteed event cards for the event that's out. I think that a Rival should be 2 weeks long, but even if it's not, let's say that can happen. I think that instead of trying to get Ultimate's top 15% or whatever it is, if you get 30,000 points, that means that you won, you know, you played at least 30 games and won. Say you went 30-0, okay? Like, that's enough, like, to go, you know, and get the top thing. Or if you're not very good at the game, or you're mediocre, let's say, you know, you had to grind out and play your full 50 games to get Ultimate, but at least you got it. I think that it should be a flat, static cap to hit, I do.
Yeah. Maddie's Muffins 2, been loving the pod while I'm at work. Curious if either of you guys are good at any other sports game. I, for example, play mostly Chell and FIFA. I was horrible at FIFA 3 years ago until I went hard into it 1 year and got to Division 1. Excuse me, Chell will always be my go-to. I used to be heavy into Madden. I liked Madden and played that competitively before I even played NHL. I remember I went to this one, like, they had this, like, big Pittsburgh tournament. It wasn't the Madden Challenge, but they had it at the Peterson Event Center 1 year. It was, like, Madden 09, I think. I think it was, like, what, 14 maybe? I went to this tournament, and it was, like, all the best players from Pittsburgh. I won the tournament because I was just grinding Madden. Like, I was on, like, the forums back then, right? Practice mode hours a day. I loved the strategy behind Madden. The last, like, I want to say, like, 3 or 4 years, the game's just awful. And it kind of killed my interest in it. Completely. Madden's just bad, in my opinion. It doesn't mimic, like, sports games get more realistic, right? I think we can say NHL mimics the game better than it ever has.
This year, yeah.
Yeah, Madden, it's like the game's dumbed down every year. The playbooks get dumbed down where it's like every playbook's almost the same. So used to love Madden, but NHL is like the only other sports game I play, or only sports game I play.
I've been the last 2 years, I've been heavy in MLB. Consider myself pretty good. I just missed World Series this year by about 25 points. So, I love MLB. I think it's one of the best. Like, I will have MLB a lot of, I put MLB content on my channel this year. I dabbled in it, and it's funny, the most viewed video on my channel is an MLB video this year.
Can I ask you something, Sleeves? If I, yeah. You know how I am at games, right? I like the strategy stuff. If I, like, you know, I'm going to need a break from NHL after GWC. If I, you know, streamed it and, like, did okay, do you think I could, like, be decent enough at the game to...
It is a very easy game. It is much easier than NHL to get good. And by good, I mean, like, you know, your Division 2 or 3. Let's say Division 3. Like, if you're in Division 3 in NHL, you're in within the top 5,000 players in the world. I think we can probably say that pretty safely. And that might not sound good to the elitists or whatever, but if you consider in the grand scheme of things that 300,000 people play this game, in the top 5,000 is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Division 2 and 3. And it's pretty difficult to get there. Like, it's a pretty big learning curve. Like, you have to learn how to play NHL quite a bit because it's so much faster. MLB, you can get to, because of how it works, where it's like you start on all-star mode, and then as you work up and you get to a certain rating, you go to Hall of Fame. and then you go to Legend, the pitching gets faster. The contact, even if your players are good, gets smaller, and it gets harder as you go into those higher ranks. It's very easy to become what would be considered good, but then once you get into Hall of Fame, it is much harder to be elite at MLB than it is NHL.
What's the skill gap in that game? Because I think of NHL, massive. It's like just... Like, what it's is it, though? Yeah. What is the... Oh. What is, like, NHL, it's, like, the puck movement, puck protection.
The ability to hit a up-and-in fastball on Legend and lay off a changeup below the zone is, on Legend, when you get players... So there's meta cards, like meta pitchers. Mm-hmm. You get something called Outlier, where someone who has, like, 99 velocity can throw... It can make their highest speed go up, like, above their highest speed. So if they throw 100, it can throw 101. So an Outlier pitcher on Legend... If you're not sitting on it, it's like your brain has less than a half a... It's like the real thing. Like, you know, the ability to hit a fastball and hit a curveball is probably one of the most difficult things to do in all of sports, right? Mm-hmm. Not to take away from any of the other sports out there, but, like, that's the hard part about it. And same thing with MLB. Like, you can have dumb skill and all of that, but, like, there's... it's, like, personality-based. Like, if you're not a patient person, like waiting for your pitch, not getting down in the game and not pitching, but then like the strategy, like, okay, this guy strikes me out with a slider away the last three at bats. So now you sit slider away, like, you know, and once you get up into like Hall of Fame and Legend and getting World Series is very difficult. I think it's much easier to get Division I in NHL than it is to get World Series in MLB.
So but that's I am because good the game at, itself changes. I'm good at face-offs in NHL. I'm just going to assume I'd be okay at MLB.
I'm good. That's the thing I'm great at, was face-offs. And I got what I would consider good at MLB pretty quickly, yeah.
Okay.
It's fun. You should try it. Like, it's such a refreshing ultimate team mode because
I know. I'm going to be spoiled and not want to go back, yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah. Murph416 asks, bit of a random question. Why is there a lighthouse in the logo?
Oh, God, you asked. So the production company that handles Coffee and Shell, it does the podcast side of it, they are a company called Rare Drop, and they own a coffee company called King's Coast, which is my favorite coffee. I've been sponsored by them for three years. I actually went to Long Island and visited Wayne, who is the one that does all the roasting and the day-to-day stuff at King's Coast, and I got to go and check out their warehouse. They have this insane roaster. Like, there's pictures of it on Twitter. But yeah, so they own the coffee company, and their logo is the lighthouse because they're from Long Island. It's also where I got this hat because I went to an Islanders game there. But that's why.
Okay. I'm skipping ahead to this question because it was kind of funny. and then I'll get to the other one. WX Dad, next week on Coffee and Chill, the community rejoices.
Oh, I saw this one.
This is great. Next week on Coffee and Chill, the community rejoices that Marchand did not get his deserved Team of the Year. You're wrong on that one, but no one who wants him could have afforded him, and those that could afford him would have disliked his build. Cam explains how his "We are hosting Christmas 2022" caused home strife. Okay, Queso goes 19-1, and we learn his loss is Koskinen related. Over under on
you did bitch about Koskinen.
I went 14-5-1, so you're wrong.
Whoa, Koskinen's getting quick sold.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh my goodness, those are sleeves numbers, dog.
Those are pretty bad, right? No, I matched Pens twice. I was just, I found is like, my stream's been doing really well. I've been having fun interacting with people. I've been having a lot more fun just talking to people instead of like focusing on the game.
That's,
you know,
90% of my streams.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just talking.
And then the final one, over under on Hutrich, 12.5. I think we hit the under there.
Yeah, we didn't say it a lot. We did say it earlier when we were talking about McDavid. I know that. That's funny.
McDavid, Team of the Year is Endgame, but his X Factor feels better. I don't think we said that.
Disagree on that. I'll disagree on that one.
You hit on a few of them, though. That was funny. That was probably my favorite comment that we've had so far.
That was a good one. All right, do one more.
Captain Goes Out, another great episode. Pack 93 Koskinen, played him for about 10 to 12 games, Hot Champs and Rivals. He was not great for me, even with all his abilities on. Seemed like he was always out of position. Let in a handful of really soft ones. Percentage-wise, it seemed like more than the 82 Bishop I was using. Upgraded recently to 85 Bishop, and he's been more consistent than Koskinen. I would say both make a couple of those. Wow, he shouldn't have saved that saves, but no way he's worth 300+K he was going for when I sold him. I agree with you. I think
it's no longer the big boy meta in net anymore.
It is to an extent, right? Because the 85 bishop's great. There's just not much of a difference between 85 bishop or 83 Markstrom and the 93 Koskinen.
Terms of size, no.
Gold post to post seems to be the meta in goalie.
It is it, man. You know what's funny? If anyone that has manually played goaltender or played it in sixes, when you hold L2, you go to the post very quickly, left and right, and it's like a lot of the big goalies like don't hold L2. But post to post, like, because when he makes those saves and you see the thing light up, you'll notice he goes and he's held up against the bar.
It's like they're there before the shot, like, even.
It's nuts,
like,
man.
Before you even press shoot. I don't get it. Yeah, it's like a glitchy one. It's like shock and automy, like, with how it is.
Yeah, like, shock and awe and truculence. It's like an arcade mode thing. But, yeah, in my opinion, it's probably one of, if not, like, the most impactful X factors, which I did not anticipate. Like, the zone ability of goaltenders, we both said, were just like useless. Like, we wouldn't even activate them. But 6'3" goaltenders in Carey Price and Vazzy have goal post to post, and they're like the meta goaltenders. So I can't wait for GWC because I'm excited, man. There's a mix. I bet there's a mix of because last year was just a Noonan, and I'm curious to see what happens this year.
I'm excited to see the team building. I'm excited to see the format of, like, is it still going to be, like, 99 Hut, you know, and then after that it's the draft. I'm assuming it is. I'm also interested in seeing, like, if it's the draft, how are they going to do abilities, right? Like, are the players you draft going to have abilities? Like, what's it going to be like? AP limit, you know, like.
Dude, that would be sick. I didn't even think of that, dude. That's going to be so much fun when we get to talk about GWC.
Yeah, there's going to be more strategy in the drafting. Like, you know, it's going to be exciting. I hope I'm a part of it again this year.
Size do I on not the competitor end. But yeah. Guys, that is going to do it for episode 14 of Coffee and Show. We will be back again next week. If you're watching us on the YouTube channel, thank you. Give me a like. That would be sweet. If not, you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple Pod or wherever you listen to your podcast. Have a great week, and we will see you guys next Tuesday. Have a good one. See ya.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.